We're glad to have in the studio with us Honorable Mary Gordon, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards. Honorable Mary, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Sabit. I appreciate to be here with you this morning.
Great. Let's begin with the last conversation about standardizing these packaged waters in South Sudan. First of all, do we have quality drinking water when it's coming to these packaged ones, as report there mentioned?
Thank you very much. Truly, yes. If it's packaged, it's supposed to be standardized. Mm-hmm. There might be some faulty here and there, but we're not going to judge them, but mm-hmm. they're doing their best, these water companies, to actually produce quality water. They've been subjected to a lot of challenges, of course. As you know, the country has gone through wars, mm-hmm. through COVID-19, but we've been working with them for the last 10 years to ensure that before they open the company itself, mm-hmm. all the standard procedures are in place. So when they actually start producing this water, as you know, they go through a lot of processes, mm-hmm. filtration, osmosis, packaging, and all the rest. But to, as a Bureau of Standard, to ensure that this standardization is actually met to the fullest, mm-hmm. this is why we're introducing the seal, mm-hmm. and the proper labeling, so that whatever is written at the back of this water bottle is what exactly inside the water bottle. Mm-hmm. At the moment, these labels are printed somewhere. They're brought here, and then they're stick on. Mm-hmm. But we really want to ensure that whatever's written there is what that water is. Great. So we are getting there eventually.
Great. Now, just basically, what are the minimum requirements for these water companies or these companies dealing with bottled water? What are some of the minimum requirements from your office?
We have been giving them a lot of guidelines through the years, but what we really are looking for is to ensure, first of all, the water source mm-hmm. is identified, and the water from the source are actually tested. Then they have to make sure all the processes of the water from the beginning of the filtration to the last packaging, it has gone through a proper procedures for cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. And then the bottle has to be what? Meeting the standard. It has to be clean, and it has to be filling properly, not touched by hands. Mm-hmm. And then the water that have been filled in this bottle has to go through checking by the laboratory mm-hmm. within the premises. Usually the young technician checked all the parameters are meeting the standard written mm-hmm. on the paper. After all that is done, now we can grant it. The water has they've gone through all the procedures. But the final thing is to ensure, because we have discovered that in South Sudan, some people can actually fill up this bottle mm-hmm. and just close it and sell it as water. So to ensure that's what we are working on, to seal it so that nobody open until when you're drinking it. Mm-hmm. This is the final stage of standardization, and we're hoping to meet it as soon as possible.
Great. And how often do you do, checkups with these companies to ensure that they don't violate any of these standards or all of these regulations you give them?
I said this has been a very hard work. It's been going on for years. It's often maybe on each factory can be once a month or mm-hmm. even twice a month, depending on availability of our transportation mm-hmm. and the technician on board. But usually we check them regularly, but the really problem that they have been facing is economical situation. They started off very good. We used to have 35 companies, water companies. Mm-hmm. Now we're ending up only with 17 or 15.
Wow.
And the reason is economical factor. Of course, when there's difficulties economically, the standard drop. And this is what we are always looking out for, to ensure that whatever standard that they've been asked to do is supposed to be constant. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to drop. But we realize if we don't check them after 1 month or so, the standard goes down.
Drops.
So it's a lot of tedious work, but yeah. we are okay.
Right. Let's talk about your office briefly. And, you know, does your office have enough equipment for testing and certifying these bottles of waters and all this?
Sabi, this has been a very long topic for so long. People of South Sudan always love to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to tell them that with the help of East Africa Trademark, we can confess that we have all the equipment we need, especially for water. Mm-hmm. Everything that we need for water is there. and we can compete with other countries because the equipment we have are more or less equally or even better than they have. Of course, they are very new. And so to assure you that we have all the things we need for water.
Let's talk about one of the most important things, of course, when it comes to health is food. And we have a lot of food of South Sudan comes from the neighboring countries, they can tell you, and you, of course, know that too. How is the standard of food in the country?
I would be wrong if I say all the foods are not good. That would be wrong. But what I can say is we are working towards improving the existing practices that have been here in South Sudan. Because as a new nation, we came in innocently. Mm-hmm. Believing that anybody who supplies us with food is actually standard or is good. Mm-hmm. It's a good food. But we discover lately that, you know, the world has changed. And not everybody wish you well sometimes. So we discovered a lot of foods that have been imported to South Sudan, and we import a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They have not been actually standardized from where they came from originally. For instance, we'll have in our neighboring countries. A typical business person will go to Uganda, for instance. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to buy from the factory or the proper place where they're producing this food in bulk, mm-hmm. they go and buy them from the local mm-hmm. produce. And you cannot guarantee the local supermarket mm-hmm. to be standardized. You cannot guarantee because it is another country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been subjected to that for so long that our people go and buy from any local market in neighboring countries, even as far as Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So of lately, for the last 2 years or so, we've been really working very hard to stop these practices. We've been encouraging all the business communities and the business personnel to buy food from the manufacturer itself. Mm-hmm. That's our standardized. And then we contracted companies that checked the food prior to entering South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
So as we speak now, it has actually improved a lot. We're having a lot of business community registering with these companies and ensuring that prior to buying this good from the neighboring countries, they've been subjected to some standardization. And usually what happened there, of course the world has improved and has advanced. The manufacturer will subject his produce to standardize. Then when you come as a buyer or as a business person, those standards specification are available. So automatically you buy from there, and as you come to South Sudan, as long as that certificate is with you, you are actually you are okay. But if they're not, then this is where we get into a lot of issues with you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we actually confiscate and we destroy the food that are substandard.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, of course, our mandate in the National Bureau of Standard is protecting the consumers from counterfeit, substandard, and adulterated food. So this is really our mandate, and we have been trying our best
mm-hmm.
to work on that area, and we're getting there eventually.
All right. Tell us about your presence at the border for entry, the border entry points to South Sudan, let's say Nimule or that side of Reng or the other sides of the country. Like, how present are you there to ensure that whatsoever commodity that comes to the country is of standard?
Okay, actually Bureau Standard is not only for food. It's
yeah.
just because we are a new nation, we concentrate heavily on food and health. Mm-hmm. But we check everything, including fuels. Anything mm-hmm. that moves into the border, we make sure we checked it. So we have a lot of staff there. We have nearly 40 people there at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, everything is subjected to weakness sometimes, but majority of them are doing very well. They're technical people. They ensure that whatever food that enter the country through these containers are checked and checked properly. There are still, of course, business people who hide, you know, certain things and put the cover. There's a lot of practices mm-hmm. that goes mm-hmm. there. But their presence is very important, by the way, because if they're not there, anything and everything will okay. walk into the country, even animals.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having a very big issues with the meat coming from East Africa, and it's been very important for the Bureau of Standards to check what kind of animals. And we've been involving the other relevant institution to set up their system properly so that whenever we get an animal, it has to be certified. Mm-hmm. And it has to make sure this animal has actually been quarantined and giving all the necessary medication. So our presence there is very important and is doing a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It might be exposed to things like corruption, of course, and all these things, but nevertheless, the system is there. And we have a laboratory there as well, so things like, simple things like water and seeds can easily be tested there, including aflatoxin tests, mm-hmm. as you know, I think we discussed that before. Mm-hmm. So these things are present, and we're doing our best. We get short from here and there, but majority of the time, we are doing it right.
Great. If you join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. My guest this morning here in the program is Honorable Mary Gordon. She is the Chief Executive Officer of the South Sudan National Bureau of Standard. And yes, we have been discussing about, you know, the standard of food, water in the country. And when you go to the markets in South Sudan, we have a lot of, let me say, fake things. Let me use that word, fake things in circulation. And especially, of course, apart from the water and the food that we've discussed, some of the things like cosmetics, for example, we've seen a lot of them are in the market and they clearly are fake. What are you, what's your bureau doing about that?
Okay. We will not say 100% of them are fake. We're reducing now because as we work, things get better. We have every day, whether you believe it or not, every day we have a group of a team of market inspectors, we call them market inspectors. They go to the market, they go to the shop, check all your goods, anything that is substandard, they bring it down. Mm-hmm. That has to go. And then, of course, they talk to the trader to ensure that the fake and the substandard goods are not supposed to be here. It's really an education and awareness at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it in different part of Juba as we go along. And as you know, of course, the moment they've done this part of the market this month mm-hmm. and go to another market, the next month this market is being refilled. Mm-hmm. Because our people are still being made aware that whatever they buy, don't buy things that are cheap. Because automatically, any food that are cheap, they're bound to be accompanied by substandard issues there. Mm-hmm. So this is what's happening. Sometimes you'll find a whole store full of substandard goods. And this is part of the education that we need to give to our people. So there is a constant cleaning up of the market every day. Mm-hmm. They have to clean it up, of course, charges, penalties, just to ensure that those shoppers and those business people or traders are actually abiding to the standards. Mm-hmm. So it's happening.
Great. I want to bring to your attention one of the things that is affecting a lot of young people here is the issue of this substandard alcohol that is in the market. Some of them, we don't know where they're actually produced, whether here in South Sudan or in the neighboring countries. Small, very cheap, and I'm very, very sure the National Bureau of Standards did not approve them. Why is it there in the market? Why are we having this alcohol that they even call, some of them, you know, the Jennifer or the Simba or the
Disco, gin, London gin, yes.
Desserts. Yeah. How are these things in the market? How do they enter, first of all, to the market, and why are they just being sold openly?
You know, this is a very long, very, very wide subject, but let me try to summarize it as much as possible. This entry of alcohol has become a very widespread practices. A lot of business communities are seeing alcohol brings a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So they bring this alcohol to the country by all means necessary. Someone can pack them inside the container, put around them nappies, whether you believe it or not, they are surrounded with nappies. When you come to the border, you know, they inspect and then they don't see any alcohol, but apparently it's been hidden there. Some of these alcohol are being referred to Juba without even inspecting them at the border. That's one of the worst practices happening here. Mm. And then there is a very large practice of smuggling. So we discovered a few weeks ago, because we actually, the government has formed a committee to look into this, because this is a very serious issue. Mm-hmm. We discovered in this market there are so many different type of alcohol you would never believe that have come into South Sudan. How? Nobody can actually say. So the government has been very concerned, and especially in the area of our young people, because this small 100 mils has been produced and it's actually killing our young people. Yes. So the government formed a committee that is to look into this and try to come up with a solution after a lot of orders and ministerial orders have been brought out by the national government, including our local government. Mm-hmm. So when this thing became very serious, we sat together as a different institution and looked at exactly the way forward. How do we resolve this? This is a very large case. Mm-hmm. So we decided to, the government decided to stop any importation of gin of that size. So now from the border, it's less, of course, less is smuggling in.
Mm-hmm.
Then we look at the factories that we have. Apparently, unfortunately, we do have manufacturers. Mm-hmm. We have about six
manufacturers
that produce gin.
Here in Juba.
Gin, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Bureau of Standards, of course, we are very much concentrated on the quality of
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the quality, we are very concerned because we decided the best thing to do, reduce the concentration of this alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually went to the analysis and sent some sample outside to ensure the quality, the concentration of the alcohol, we came to realize that the gin is actually between 37.5 to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
That's very high.
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed the best way forward. Then it's not possible to reduce these percentage.
Mm.
The only way is to actually regulate it.
Mm.
And this is what the government decided. So this committee has been working on ensuring there's a regulation. The form of distribution is actually in place. So the local government brought an order a few months ago. I think you came across
yes.
this.
Mm.
Where they wanted to stop selling of alcohol in all residential areas.
Mm.
So that will help at least in a way. Then we decided to increase the volume of this alcohol. We were increased to 200 because in our neighboring countries are not working with 100 mils anymore, the small
mm-hmm,
one.
Mm-hmm.
They try to work with the 200 mil upwards.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking into that at the moment, and then even the packaging of it, and then the selling of alcohol, because the prices has to be high for our youngsters not to buy.
Yeah.
So all these things have been drawn up by the committee. And the final resolution is going to come out, the final procedures for
mm-hmm.
actually implementing this.
Okay.
Because shops cannot sell alcohol to underage, so that has to stop. It cannot be sold anywhere, anyhow. And then at the same time, it cannot be sold in this small volume. It has to be increased volume.
Mm-hmm.
But our biggest worries is the moment that we increase this volume, the local produce alcohol might take over.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing we need the local government to really be very serious about it. So this is a long-term as well as a short-term solution for what is happening in our country
mm-hmm.
because alcohol seems to be so cheaply sold,
yeah.
you know, and it's really, really, really very bad for our youngsters and especially for the nation, for the future of the country
mm-hmm.
as a whole.
Let's talk about fines. You did mention about, you know, some people, you put regulations, of course, at the borders and all that, but some people smuggle these alcohol and or any of these goods to the country, and we see them in the markets. Probably with your inspection teams, they go there, and if you find that somebody is selling some standard things or things that have been banned from entering the country, what fines do you have for them? How do you handle that case?
Fine are subject to regulation, of course, by the Ministry of Finance. There are very high fine for these kind of practices. But in our case, in the Bureau of Standard, if something is substandard, is proven substandard, it has to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a choice. It's not even an issue fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue, or fine is a deterrent. It's help you not to do it next time.
Mm-hmm.
But the product itself has to be removed and has to be destroyed. And this is the part that has been challenging for the last few months, because as the products are being moved to be destroyed, then we have a lot of people running to those sides and try to confiscate them back. So it's been a challenge,
mm-hmm.
but it's been looked at. So the fine are not controlled by us. Usually there is a standard for finding, but if the case is so bad, then the inspector on the ground has to decide the best fine, so that whatever happened next time, the trader will not think twice. And by the way, there's been some fine imposed into substandard imports. It was a 15% on all your goods when you bring substandard in.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've gone to 40% of your goods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, really very, very heavy. But the government is working very hard to ensure that there have to be a system set up to discourage the traders to bringing in substandard goods.
All right. Honorable Mary, thank you so much for coming to Mirage Studios. But just before you go, on the issue of standards in the country, what message do you have for the people listening to us?
I have a lot, and
for the traders especially as well.
Okay, for the traders, I'm encouraging them to follow the standard, because without the standard, there's no health in the nation. and our health depend on what they bring in from another country. We don't go, or not everybody goes out to bring in the goods. So please abide into the regulation of the standard. But I just want to tell our public that as a new nation, we work towards things slowly, slowly, but it's eventually we'll get there. You cannot get go there overnight. So now FOA has been funding the Bureau of Standard to form what they call Food Safety Committee. Mm-hmm. This is working towards ensuring that our food, whatever we have, is actually being done properly, stored properly, cultivated properly, mm-hmm. and then consumed properly, yeah, in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. So, and so far, there is what they call the Food Safety Task Force, being formed for the first time in South Sudan. Is working very hard to ensure that this knowledge does not remain with the few, it has to be disseminated. So there's a lot of awareness going on at the moment to ensure that people are aware of how to prepare food. So please adhere to this. Whenever you've been approached by anybody from the government asking you to ensure your foods are prepared properly, comply. This is to the public. And then, of course, there is a policy. We never used to have food safety policy in South Sudan. As a new nation, we didn't have. Mm-hmm. So now the food safety policy is on its way. And, of course, we don't do it by ourselves as a Bureau Standard. We work with our stakeholders. We have very strong stakeholders and a lot of technical ministries are our mm-hmm. stakeholders. People like Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Environment, all of them, they are our stakeholders. So we are working very hard on this to ensure the food safety of South Sudan is a priority. Mm-hmm. Because everything else will come later. If our food are safe and we're eating well, then we can ensure our buildings are being constructed properly, mm-hmm. our roads are being. So in the area of standardization, we have moved a lot. We have a codex committees in South Sudan. We are having a standard from codex, which are for food safety mm-hmm. alone. So we have moved in those technical areas, and I want to let our public know that technically we are moving slowly but surely. But we need help from the public and from the traders to ensure that whatever is standard is what South Sudan is supposed to be approaching, supposed to be practicing, supposed to be believing in. Mm-hmm. And please be informed. Don't always say, oh, we are eating substandard good. No, not every day somebody eats substandard. One day you have to eat standard good. So we are moving towards that. We're not there yet, but mm-hmm. we have actually moved there.
All right, Mary. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Sabit William. I appreciate this meeting.
Thank you.